Ex-Husband's Regret by Evelyn M. M. Chapter 321. I stare at him, dumbfounded, unable to say or do anything. You love smelling good, and you lean more on scents with berries in them. As long as a perfume or body wash has some kind of berry, you'll buy it. You don't really have a favorite food because you'll eat anything as long as it's delicious. You love taking really long and hot showers because it relaxes you. You hate heights, you hate being late, and you also hate flying. You hate cockroaches, you always say you'd rather your house be infested with spiders than those disgusting brown things. Shall I continue? He doesn't give me a chance to answer. You prefer styling your hair in ponytails and buns. You don't like makeup that much and only put it on when you have to or are in the mood for it. You hate sleeping on your back because it reminds you of a dead person in a casket. You hate being disorganized and also the color yellow. I raise my hand to stop him because I am completely speechless. Everything he said was the damn truth. I can't comprehend how he knew all of this since we've never been close. The Sharps wouldn't have told him because they barely even knew me. How? I stammer, unable to wrap my head around everything. I told you, he wow says with a smile. I paid attention even when you thought I didn't. Despite the warm air, I shiver. He takes out his jacket and places it around my shoulders. I also know that you love nature. According to you, it rejuvenates you. That's why I brought you here, he says gently, and I can't stop a smile from forming on my lips. Well, it looks like I dressed up for nothing. If I'd thought you were bringing me here, I would have worn something casual. Nah, it's okay. I'm so fucking glad you dressed up, that way my eyes can feast on you, he winks at me, and my heart flutters. We remain in silence just basking in each other's presence, that is until his voice cuts through the silence. Is there something you would like to know about me or do you know everything there is? He pulls me close to him, tucking me safely under his arm. I lean my head against his chest, feeling the beating of his heart. There is one thing I'd love to know, plus 15 bonus, he mock gasps and stares at. So there is actually something you don't know about me, I'm shocked, stop it. I pinch his rock, hard ABS, but it does nothing. He simply chuckles. Go ahead, is it true that you slept with a teacher back when you were in high school? I've always wanted to know. Everyone knew of the twin brothers and their good looks. I was 3 years younger than them, and yet even in junior high, they still had girls fawning over them. Gabe was a playboy, pure and simple. Rowan was too, but that was before he and Emma started dating. The twins had gone through most of the female population in school. It was even rumored that Rowan had banged a teacher. He'd been in detention and the principal had caught them with the teacher bent over a desk and Rowan ramming into her like a bull. I found it funny when I heard some girls talking about it in the cafeteria. They said that he didn't even look apologetic or scared of the principal. In fact, he had asked him if he would like to join them. After that, Rowan had been a legend among the boys at school. Then he had shocked everyone when he decided to leave the playboy persona and start dating. The lucky girl had been Emma. He simply laughs, his voice, deep, husky and rich. It was the manly kind of laugh that I could listen to all day long. Yeah, it's true, he finally answers. I'm shocked. I always just thought it was a stupid rumor. How the hell did that happen, and how old were you? Not that I'm judging or anything like that. I was 17 and she was 26, I think. I was a hormonal boy, and Mandy was fucking hot. I'd always wanted to fuck someone older than me, and she made it fucking easy to draw her in when she would literally push her boobs towards my face or widening her legs while in a tiny skirt every time she called me to her desk. I'm impressed, but at the same time disgusted at Mandy. I mean, she was a teacher for heaven's sake, yet she tried seducing one of her students. I'm a teacher, and I would never cross that line. You're the one that asked, Rowan says, noticing my scrunched, up face. I know, but I find it disturbing that a teacher would intentionally seduce her 17-year-old pupil. He just shrugs, like it's not a big deal. After that, the conversation is more laid back. I totally enjoyed myself. It was a dream, and I didn't want the date to end. We talked for hours about everything under the moon. It was like we were really good friends. The conversation flowed easily, we talked, laughed, and played silly high school games. Everything was perfect, and I felt like I was where and with whom I was meant to be. When we packed our things and left, it was already late at night. I smiled all the way home, feeling like I finally had the chance to have the life I've always dreamed of. Thank you for tonight, I really had fun, I tell Rowan as we step out of the car. He takes my hand and walks me to the door. Me too, I can't believe I never took you out on a date. I plan to do it more often now. We enter the house. The lights were still on, but Teresa was nowhere to be seen. She was probably in either Iris's room or the guest room across from it. I stop and just look at the place. I always thought that Rowan built it and designed it with Emma in mind. I didn't mind how the house looked, I just hated the interior because it was something Emma liked, not me. What is it? He asks when he notices that I've stopped. Nothing, Ava, please, if something is bothering you, tell me, he all but pleads. Sighing tiredly, I face him. I just never loved the interior of the house. This was supposed to be our home, yet I always felt like I didn't belong because everything, down to the color scheme, was Emma's favorite. I always felt like I was leaving in her shadow. Like I was living in a house meant to be hers. He crosses a few steps and comes to where I was standing. I watch him as he cups my cheeks. I'm sorry you felt that way. He breathes, his forehead touching mine. Tomorrow I'll call an interior designer to change everything, or if you want, you can do it yourself. We can move to my condo while they repaint the house, and then after we'll get rid of everything else that you don't want and buy new ones that fit your taste. I stare at him, stunned. Really? You're okay with that? Abso-fucking-lutely. I'll do anything to make you happy, including tearing the whole goddamn house down if that's what you want. Damn, how the hell am I supposed to react to that? Chapter 322. Yeah, it's true, he finally answers. I'm shocked. I always just thought it was a stupid rumor. How the hell did that happen, and how old were you? Not that I'm judging or anything like that. I was 17 and she was 26, I think. I was a hormonal boy, and Mandy was fucking hot. I'd always wanted to fuck someone older than me, and she made it fucking easy to draw her in when she would literally push her boobs towards my face or widening her legs while in a tiny skirt every time she called me to her desk. One, I'm impressed, but at the same time disgusted at Mandy. I mean, she was a teacher for heaven's sake, yet she tried seducing one of her students. I'm a teacher, and I would never cross that line. One, you're the one that asked, Rowan says, noticing my scrunched, up face. I know, but I find it disturbing that a teacher would intentionally seduce her 17-year-old pupil. He just shrugs, like it's not a big deal. After that, the conversation is more laid back. I totally enjoyed myself. It was a dream, and I didn't want the date to end. We talked for hours about everything under the moon. It was like we were really good friends. The conversation flowed easily. We talked, laughed, and played silly high school games. Everything was perfect, and I felt like I was where and with whom I was meant to be. When we packed our things and left, it was already late at night. I smiled all the way home, feeling like I finally had the chance to have the life I've always dreamed of. Thank you for tonight, I really had fun, I tell Rowan as we step out of the car. He takes my hand and walks me to the door. Me too, I can't believe I never took you out on a date. I plan to do it more often now. We enter the house. The lights were still on, but Teresa was nowhere to be seen. She was probably in either Iris's room or the guest room across from it. I stop and just look at the place. I always thought that Rowan built it and designed it with Emma in mind. I didn't mind how the house looked, I just hated the interior because it was something Emma liked, not me. What is it? He asks when he notices that I've stopped. Nothing, Ava. Please, if something is bothering you, tell me, he all but pleads. Sighing tiredly, I face him. I just never loved the interior of the house. This was supposed to be our home, yet I always felt like I didn't belong because everything, down to the color scheme, was Emma's favorite. I always felt like I was leaving in her shadow. Like I was living in a house meant to be hers. He crosses a few steps and comes to where I was standing. I watch him as he cups my cheeks. I'm sorry you felt that way. He breathes, his forehead touching mine. Tomorrow I'll call an interior designer to change everything, or if you want, you can do it yourself. We can move to my condo while they repaint the house, and then after we'll get rid of everything else that you don't want and buy new ones that fit your taste. I stare at him, stunned. Really? You're okay with that? Abso-fucking-lutely. I'll do anything to make you happy, including tearing the whole goddamn house down if that's what you want. Damn, how the hell am I supposed to react to that? Chapter 323. It's settled then, we are going to change things around here, Rowan says as I just stare at him. I was shocked, but happy at the same time. I've wanted for a long time to change most things, but I just knew that he wouldn't agree. I don't know, for some reason, I feel that this is just another proof that he'd finally let go of Emma. That he actually did care for me. Okay, I smile at him as I let that truth sink in. We can do a consultation with an interior designer tomorrow. I'm sure Bianca Myers will be able to take us, despite her busy schedule. You can tell her what you'd like and leave it to her, or you can be involved. The choice is up to you. And the surprises keep coming. Everyone knows who Bianca Myers is. She's the best interior designer in the country, and she only works for the rich and influential. I can't believe I get to work with her. All right, I tell him, trying to keep my excitement to a minimum. But I want both you and Noah to chip in too. After all, this is your home too, and I want you to be comfortable here. I'd be okay with anything you choose, but okay, I'll give my opinion on anything you need me to. I nod, feeling happiness radiate from inside me. Not only did we have a great first date, but I was finally going to get the home I've always wanted. There's no more living under Emma's shadow. I could finally turn this house into my home, not just a house I had to live in. Without really thinking about it, I wrap my hand around the back of his head and bring him closer for a kiss. His hands immediately wrap around my waist as he pulls me flush against him. I feel every hard ridge of his body, along with his hardening dick that presses against my stomach. He deepens the kiss, making me moan. It's not a secret that I wanted. That I needed him. Our tongues tangle as he dominates, taking control and leaving me breathless. My nipples harden as a gush of wetness makes my panties stick to pussy. I pull my hand from his hair and run it down his chest before stopping at his belt. I linger there for a while before going further down and stopping at the bulge in his trousers. I gently grab his hard, on, which emits a groan from him that travels all the way to my core. His hold tightens, and I am sure he is about to haul me up against him when we are 1/3 plus 15 bonus. Sorry to interrupt, I heard voices, so I came downstairs, Teresa said, avoiding eye contact. I groan in irritation because she has ruined the moment. Rowan was breathing hard, but I see the moment he regains his composure and self-control. I sigh in defeat, knowing that if Teresa hadn't interrupted, Rowan and I would probably be in bed, getting naked. Tonight was perfect, but it would have been even more perfect had I gotten the sex that I've been craving so much. It's okay, Teresa, Rowan tells her while I just stand there quietly. If it's all right with you, I would like to take my leave. The children are both asleep and I fed Iris about 15 minutes ago. You can go ahead, and thank you. She bids us a good night before leaving for her quarters. Once she's gone, I turn to look at Rowan, and I just know that we won't be continuing where we left off. To say that I'm not disappointed would be lying, especially seeing that he was still semi-hard. I'll go and check up on the kids, I'll be right back, I inform him. Maybe this will give me a chance to cool down. I need a fucking shower is the only thing he says before stomping away. Well, he wouldn't have needed one if he'd agreed to give both of us what we desperately wanted, but he was being stubborn. Sure, I get what he meant when he said that he won't touch me until he's sure I'm in love with him again, but doesn't he realize that I never fell out of love with him in the first place? Once he disappears, I start my ascent up the stairs. I first go into Noah's room. Just like always, he's kicked the covers off, and they are on the floor. I pick them up and tuck him in, making sure that he doesn't manage to kick them off again. When I'm done, I kiss his forehead and leave, heading to Iris's room. I do the same for her, then pick up the baby monitor and leave her room quietly. I take a deep breath before entering our bedroom. I shouldn't have been nervous to face Rowan because he wasn't even there. I sit on the bed and just survey the room, trying to find a way of approaching the subject of sex. Running my hand through my hair, I suppress my sexual frustration as I try to think clearly. A groan from the bathroom makes my head snap in that direction. I bolt up and head for the door, afraid that something might have happened to Rowan. Rowan. I call, slightly opening the door. I don't get a response, so I widen the door. That's when I saw him through the shower glass. It was misty, but I could still see clearly. My eyes drop lower just as he releases another groan. I'm unable to pull my eyes away from the scene in front of me. One hand was on the wall supporting him, while the other was holding his dick, pumping up and down. He was hard. Painfully hard, if I were to go by the bulging veins clearly seen in his shaft. His legs were wide apart, and he had his eyes closed. The heat that I'd somewhat managed to control roars back to life like a raging inferno. I cross my feet, clenching my thighs, trying to control the need that was burning inside me. I wanted my hands to replace his, and to take it a little further, I wanted my mouth on him, sucking as he filled my whole mouth. The image of that almost undoes me right there and then. My eyes remain on him, watching as his jaw clenches. His hand begins pumping faster, right before his cum spurts out. With a tight fist, he continues milking his shaft, and I imagine his cum all over my breast. I was just about to step inside when his groan caught my attention. It's a groan of pleasure that is followed by my name. I stop dead in my tracks as a memory filters through. The pain is blinding, but what has me on my knees and crying are the words coming out of Rowan's mouth. You tried being a decent fuck, but you weren't even good at it. Every time I was inside you, it's Emma I wanted, it's Emma I imagined beneath me. Every time I cummed, it's her face I saw. You were nothing special, just easy, and so I used you. I used you like the fucking slut you are. Those words, just like they did then, they destroy me. Chapter 324. Rowan. The date was nothing but perfect. If I had my way, it wouldn't have ended. Every moment I spent with her was heaven, and I wish I'd done this sooner. I honestly don't know why I never gave myself a chance to be happy with Ava. It bugs me that we could have been happy all these years if only I'd let go of Emma. The love I had for Emma was young love, it wouldn't have lasted. The moment it was tested, it crumbled. What I feel for Ava is more mature, stronger, and deeper than what I thought love was at 17 years of age. I'm starting to believe that Gabe was right. Love doesn't develop out of the blues, just like he said. I think deep down I loved Ava, I just let the guilt of hurting Emma consume me. I held on to Emma because I felt I needed control, and marrying Ava and being with her felt like something out of my control. I also believed that allowing my feelings for Ava to grow would be akin to betraying the love I had for Emma. What I didn't realize then was that that love had died long ago. Sighing, I take off my clothes before heading to the shower. I don't know how long I can fucking keep this up. Ava was slowly killing me. Slowly crumbling my resolve. I didn't want to touch her until she knew everything, and until I knew her love for me was set on stone. Each day, though, it's getting harder and harder to remain true to my resolve. Every time we kissed, every time she touched me, every fucking time I woke up with her ass cradling my dick, was pure temptation. It's not once or twice, I almost just said fuck it and took her the way I wanted. What stops me is the knowledge that if I do that before she knows everything and before her love for me is rekindled, then she'll end up hating me. I couldn't risk that. I wouldn't be able to take it. Pushing thoughts of the uncertain future aside, I focus on the present matter. My dick was painfully hard. I've had more hand action these past few months than I've had in my teenage years. Taking my swollen shaft in my hand, I close my eyes and imagine Ava in the sexy dress she'd won tonight. I imagine myself tearing it from her as her delicious body comes into view. She didn't have a bra, and as my mouth sucked and licked her nipples, my hands went to her panties. I dip my hand inside to find her wet and ready for me. Fuck, groan as I enter one finger and then another. She moans as I finger, fuck her, begging me not to stop. Her juices drip down my fingers, coating my hand in the process. I rub her clit, and watch as her head falls backward. Her face transforms into a look of pure pleasure, and a small smile plays on her lips. I pump harder, loving the way she moans my name. Each sound drives pleasure into me. She climaxes, her walls clenching my fingers in a tight fist. Watching her come pushes me over the edge, making me climax alongside her. I pull my fingers out and lick her cum from them. She watches me with wide eyes, seductive yet innocent at the same time. I climb on top of her and kiss her until we're both fucking breathless. Pulling away, I look at her because I wanted to see her reaction when I entered her. I align my dick with her entrance, the anticipation making me feel like an eager teenager. I was just about to enter her when a small scream pulls me from my fantasy. I turn towards the door, and my heart stops. Not caring, I rush towards her. Ava was slumped against the door, looking like she was in a world of pain. Ava. I call her, but I don't get an answer. Snatching a towel, I wrap it quickly around my waist before focusing on her. Her eyes were closed, she had tears running down her face, and what broke my heart was the look of pain that marred her beautiful face. What's wrong, darling? I ask. I place my hand on her shoulder to shake her when she reacts violently. Don't fucking touch me, she screams, scrambling away from me. I stare at her in shock. What the hell happened? She was okay a moment ago, but now she didn't want me to fucking touch her. Ava, don't come near you, jerk. Her eyes are full of bitterness and hate, reminding me of how she was before she was shot. Chapter 325. My heart stops as fear that she's remembered everything crashes into me. Tell me what's wrong, Ava. I can't help you if I don't know what's wrong, I plead with her. More tears continue falling down her face. Pain and hurt shadow her eyes. It literally breaks my fucking heart to see her like this. I had a memory, she begins before she starts laughing like she's insane. You know, I wanted to fuck you, I wanted to sleep with you, I even talked myself into talking to you about it because I wanted you so much. When I saw you jerking off in the shower, I wanted to join you. I even imagined myself giving you a blowjob while you cummed on my chest. I frown, but stay quiet. Something told me that something had happened. That I wasn't going to like what she had to say next. Here, I was horny for you, craving you, when my mind had to remind me of something that you said, she hiccups. You want to know what it was? I didn't, because I knew it would destroy the small progress we had made, but I nodded nonetheless. You tried being a decent fuck, but you weren't even good at that. Every time I was inside you, it's Emma I wanted, she tells me, her voice catching. Does it ring a bell? My heart completely shatters because I remember the words very clearly. The words that I flung at her because I wanted to hurt her for hurting Emma. The funny thing is, here I was horny for you when, in reality, you don't really want me. I'm nothing but a slut to be used as a substitute. Why did you sleep with me if you didn't want me, Rowan? You could have gone and gotten yourself a mistress, it would have hurt, but I would have preferred that to being used to satiate your desire for Emma. The pain in her voice is my undoing. I knew those words would come back to bite me in the ass, but when I yelled them at her, I was so pissed that it didn't hit me that I'd said them until it was too late and I couldn't take them back. It isn't like that. I murmured, not able to look into her eyes. I was ashamed of saying those words. I still am. Then how was it? Weren't those your words? Weren't you the one who said them? Not once did I point a gun at your head and force you to sleep with me. Hell, when we got married, I didn't expect us to have a sexual relationship, and I told you that. You're the one who always came to me. You're the one that sought me out. If you knew that you didn't want me, then why sleep with me? Why use me? Why degrade me like that? You should have just left me alone, Rowan. She moans as I finger fuck her, begging me not to stop. Her juices drip down my fingers, coating my hand in the process. I rub her clit, and watch as her head falls backward. Her face transforms into a look of pure pleasure, and a small smile plays on her lips. One pump harder, loving the way she moans my name. Each sound drives pleasure into me. She climaxes, her walls clenching my fingers in a tight fist. Watching her cum pushes me over the edge, making me climax alongside her. I pull my fingers out and lick her cum from them. She watches me with wide eyes, seductive yet innocent at the same time. I climb on top of her and kiss her until we're both fucking breathless. Pulling away, I look at her because I wanted to see her reaction when I entered her. I align my dick with her entrance, the anticipation making me feel like an eager teenager. I was just about to enter her when a small scream pulls me from my fantasy. I turn towards the door, and my heart stops. Not caring, I rush towards her. Ava was slumped against the door, looking like she was in a world of pain. Ava. I call her, but I don't get an answer. Snatching a towel, I wrap it quickly around my waist before focusing on her. Her eyes were closed, she had tears running down her face, and what broke my heart was the look of pain that marred her beautiful face. What's wrong, darling? I ask, I place my hand on her shoulder to shake her when she reacts violently. Don't fucking touch me, she screams, scrambling away from me. I stare at her in shock. What the hell happened? She was okay a moment ago, but now she didn't want me to fucking touch her. Ava, don't come near you, jerk. Her eyes are full of bitterness and hate, reminding me of how she was before she was shot. Ex-husband's regret. Chapter 0326. What's got you drinking in the club alone instead of being at home with Ava? Gabe asks as he takes a seat next to me. I was in a terrible mood, and the last thing I wanted was any form of company. That includes my brothers. Ignoring him, I take another gulp of my whiskey. I was in the VIP section of one of our many clubs. The music was booming, people were dancing and having fun, and alcohol was flowing, but none of that did anything for me. Tonight, I just wanted to forget. To forget the image of Ava's heartbreak. I know it's wishful thinking given that both of those images are burned in my mind, but I can fucking try. Things at home have been tense. The atmosphere that was welcoming isn't there anymore. I want things to go back to how they fucking were, but I don't know how to do that. I don't fucking know how to fix things. I can't take back those words. I can't fucking reverse them. I can't unwind time and fix my mistakes. If I could, I'd already have done it because I love her so fucking much, and it kills me to know that I all but destroyed her. It shatters me to know that I am the one who destroyed everything we could have had. Rowan. His hand lands on my shoulder, but I shrug it off. What? I was sad, heartbroken, and pissed. None of those emotions were ever good together. Well, you're in a foul mood, Gabe states, giving me a side, eye look. That should have been fucking obvious when you found me drinking alone. I don't say anything else, and neither does he. While I lounge and cradle my drink, he pours himself a healthy amount. We sit in silence, both of us lost in our own minds. Where is Travis? I haven't seen him in a while, I ask after some time. Things between us have been tense since I threw Emma in prison. We haven't spoken since the day he came, begging me to release his sister. We've been friends since we were both in diapers, but I don't see us ever being close again. He's been really busy with Emma. She fell into a state of depression, so he's trying to deal with that, he replies with a shrug. Depression? Is it because I sent her to prison or something else? I think that's part of it. He told me that she's been struggling since coming out of prison and accepting that you two will never get back together. He thinks, though, that what pushed her over the edge was when Calvin refused to forgive her and accept her back into his and well, that was news to me. I guess both of us were finally getting our karma, because how else would you call it? Every word I said and every action I took was slowing coming back to bite me in the ass. If only Emma and I had realized this earlier. If only we'd known what we know now back then, we held on to each other, not realizing that maybe, just maybe, Ava and Calvin were the people we were fucking meant to be with. So now tell me, what's wrong? Gabe asks again after a few minutes of silence. I feel the buzz of the alcohol. When I lost Emma, I started to drink. To put it plainly, I became a fucking drunkard. After Noah was born, I swore never to get drunk again. Here I was, though, trying to reach oblivion. Trying to take the edge of things. I stare at the amber liquid debating before finally throwing back the contents and pouring myself another. Ava, I say her name. Gabe frowns. I thought you said she'd given you a chance without pushing for the truth. What the hell did you do now? I glare right back at him. Why do you have to assume it's me? I fucking know that I'm the one in the wrong, but damn it, why did he just immediately assume that I was the problem? Rolling his eyes like a fucking child, he answers, because when it comes to Ava, you always manage to screw things up. I was about to argue with him, but I clamped my mouth and shut the fuck up. He was right, wasn't he? I couldn't argue with him because he wasn't wrong. Up until a few months ago, I'd been fucking up with Ava for years. Now that you know I'm fucking right, why don't you tell me what happened? Did you mess up on the date or something? The date was great and she loved it. I'm guessing you messed up after the date then, he asks, his eyes into mine. It's more of something I said before her accident. Somehow jerking off in the shower triggered her memory, and now she doesn't even want to look at me. I proceed to tell him everything that went down. Everything fucking thing that happened and how Emma lied and manipulated me into thinking that Ava was the villain. I tell him, word for word, what I'd angrily shouted at Ava and how it came back to bite me a week ago. You're a fucking idiot, Gabe tells me once I'm done talking. I glare at him, but I accept the truth. I fucking know that. We are quiet again, but it doesn't last long. Have you talked to her or apologized? Releasing a breath, I shake my head. She won't talk to me. She won't even allow me to be anywhere near her. She avoids me like I'm a fucking plague. Thinking about it just hurts my heart even more. I was a fucking idiot. How the hell did I not see what was standing in front of me all of these years? Why the hell did I continue hurting her? We were married for 9 years, yet never did I ever think of separation or divorce, not even when I imagined Noah graduating and leaving him. That should have been the first clue that I felt something for Ava, because how did I never think of divorce? Did you mean any of the words you threw at her? No, my answer is automatic. I was mad at her, and I wanted to hurt her for hurting Emma, but deep down, I didn't mean a damn word, I said. I never compared her to Emma, and not once did I imagine Emma when I was with her. I only said it because I knew it would hurt her. So what gave you the dumb idea to lie to her? He asks while sipping his drink. I shrug. I don't know, idiocy. It's not an excuse, but you know I say stupid things when I'm angry. I can't give you any solution because those words are probably imprinted on her brain. What you can do, though, is talk to her, make her listen, and tell her the truth before this tears what you are trying to do. I get what he is saying, but getting it done is difficult, especially when she isn't talking to me. Instead of saying anything, I continue drinking. I keep chasing that euphoria all the while, hoping that I can still salvage what I ruined. Chapter 327. Ava. Is it okay if I come to visit tomorrow? There is something I wanted to talk to you about. I was on a phone call with Nora, or should I say my biological mother. I've been thinking hard these past few days, and I decided that I was finally going to give them a chance. Both Nora and Theo seem like good people, and I've always craved that parental love. Maybe this was my chance of getting it. I wanted to get to know them, and I wanted a relationship with them. It's not their fault that Kate and James were horrible parents to me, and I couldn't judge them based on my bad experience with my adopted parents. That would be wonderful, Ava. We've missed you and our grandchildren so much. I wanted to call or visit, but I didn't want to push you if you weren't ready, she gushed in a sing-song voice. It made me smile, to be honest, and I haven't smiled since that night. What time is okay with you? Ava, you're our daughter, whatever time you want to come, day or night, is simply fine with us, she answers. After talking with her for a while, we finally hung up. Releasing a tired sigh, I place my phone down and just stare at the blank television. My mind wanders back to that night. How did things just shift from great to downright ugly? Everything had been perfect until my brain chose to remember. I've come to realize that truly, ignorance is bliss. Part of me wishes that I hadn't remembered. It still cuts me deep when I remember the words he flung at me. I never thought that's what he thought of me or our intimate moments. I've always wanted more passion and heat between us, and I knew that he was holding back, but I still loved the rare occasions we slept together. I treasured them and it hurt knowing that to him it wasn't anything special, just a way to release pent-up sexual energy and to think of Emma. I should have expected it, though. He didn't love me and he didn't value me. I was naive. What the hell did I expect? That he actually enjoyed fucking me? I was nothing but a hole that satisfied his deepest fantasies about Emma. I release a tired breath and push those thoughts away. I was tired of constant thinking about those words. The kids were asleep, and it was time I went to bed too. I stand up and head to the door. I was about to lock it and turn off the lights when I heard a car, seconds later a knock. Opening the door, I'm surprised to find Gabe and Rowan. Rowan was drunk and the only thing preventing him from face planting on the floor was Gabe's hands. Hey, Ava. Sorry to bother you this late, but I had to bring him home, Gabe greets respectfully, something that shocks me a bit. I shake my head to clear the fog before nodding, it's okay, come in. I step aside and let them into the house. Since that night, Rowan has rarely slept here. He chose to stay at his penthouse to give me space. He's tried everything, calling, texting, talking directly to me, but I refuse to hear him out because the wound has still been fresh. His calls remained answered, I deleted his texts without reading them and when we were in close proximity, I ignored him like he didn't exist. For a moment, I also almost blocked his number. Is it okay if I take him to the bedroom? Gabe asks. I know what bedroom he was talking about and I numbly agree. I'm still speechless seeing Rowan drunk and passed out. The last time he got drunk was a day before Noah was born, I don't understand why he's back at it again. Minutes later, Gabe comes down and he's about to leave when I stop him. Did you drink? I ask, studying him. Yes, though not as much as Rowan, he answered politely. It felt so weird talking to him like this. Before, we would just ignore each other, but right now it felt like I could actually talk to him, which in itself was weird. Is your driver with you? No. I had someone drop me off at the club when I heard that Rowan was drinking alone. I drove his car back here, you can spend the night here. There is no need for you to drive back home while intoxicated, In fact, you shouldn't have driven here. You should have called a cab. I stated before I lock the door, turn on the security system and switch off the lights outside. Ava, it's okay. I can take a taxi. He looks at me weirdly, but I don't have time to decipher the meaning of his look. There's no need for that. Spend the night, have breakfast with us tomorrow, then you can leave. It's really no problem. He stares at me, his eyes burning, much like his brother's. I shift from one foot to another, feeling awkward. Okay, then he finally agrees. Thank you, sure, good night. I hear him mumble a good night as I walk past him. I climb up the stairs wondering why I insisted on Gabe staying. He was right, he could have taken a taxi, and he's a man who knows how to take care of himself. The simple answer is, I was tired of holding on to past grudges. I don't want to be bitter and angry all my life. What they did to me wasn't my fault and it will always be on them, but choosing to be resentful and bitter, that will be on me. I don't know how I was in the 4 years that I don't remember, but what I want now is to live happily. All I want now is to heal and be the best version of myself. That will never happen if I decide to hold on to past grudges. I get to the bedroom and push the door open. Rowan was still in his suit, lying on top of the covers. I would have left him like that, but he would be more comfortable in his pajamas. I get to work, carefully taking off his clothes without waking him up. Once that's done, I get him under the covers. It's feet given he's double my size, but I finally get him under. After covering him and making sure that he's comfortable, I turn. I was just about to leave when he grabs my hand and stops me. I turn and look at him, seeing his sadness glaring at me. I want to push his hands away but I can't. He has a hold on me, not just on my hand, but also my heart. Please don't leave me, Ava, he pleads, his voice broken. I can't lose you. I just can't. Chapter 328. I wake up with Rowan spooning. Yesterday, for some reason, I couldn't leave after he'd asked me to stay. I'd wanted to. I'd fought against it, but in the end, I'd lost. By the time I'd made the decision to share the bedroom with him, he'd already fallen back to sleep. His arms were tightly wrapped around my waist, almost as if he were afraid that I'd leave him. Even in his sleep. In this position, I felt loved and cared for. I felt safe, and all my past hurts just melted away. I feel his hot breath on the back of my neck, which just sends goosebumps all over my skin. Being careful not to wake him, I slowly get out of bed. I needed to make sure that Noah was up so he wouldn't be late for school. I tiptoe across the room and then silently leave our bedroom. After checking up on Iris, I head towards Noah's room. Noah, I call, but there wasn't a need for that because he was already up. He looks at me but doesn't greet me. He just goes back to buttoning his school shirt. Are you still mad at me? I ask as I cross his room and sit on his bed. He stares at me, or, let me say, more like glares at me, but he doesn't speak. I sigh, so sure that he was going to ignore me in the same way I've been ignoring his dad. I was about to stand up and leave when his hurt voice stopped me. I just don't get it, he all but whispers. You know how much I dislike Sierra, Yet you insisted I invite her or I wouldn't have my party. Why? Why are you taking her side? The pain in his voice breaks my heart. I would never do anything to hurt my son, but I also knew that I couldn't just let him not invite the girl. Come here, baby. At first, I thought he'd ignore me, but he doesn't. He comes and sits down next to me, albeit hesitantly. I'm not taking her side, Noah, I answer his question. Then why did you insist I invite her? This isn't something I ever thought I'd ever share with my son, but I didn't have a choice. If I wanted him to understand, then I had to tell him the bitter truth of my younger days. Taking a deep breath, I begin. When I was young, around your age, I didn't have a lot of friends. Most of the kids my age thought I was weird and not cool. I wasn't bullied, but I wasn't accepted either. Because most of them thought that I was weird and annoying, they rarely invited me to function. I was never invited to birthday parties or sleepover, those kind of things. It hurt every time others in our class got invites, but I didn't. I used to cry every day. Those memories still hurt today. It was even more painful since I was a piranha, not only at school but also at home with my own family. As a kid, you don't understand any of it, so I kept trying, and I kept getting rejected every time. Who are those kids? I'm going to find them and hurt them for hurting you. No one hurts my mom. Noah's outburst pulls me back from the painful memories. He is angry, and I smile because he's angry on my behalf. I grab his hand and pull him to me. It was a long time, Noah. The reason I insisted you invite Sierra is because I've been there and I know how it hurts to see other people invited to parties while you're being excluded. I wouldn't want what happened to me to happen to any child. He's quiet for a while, and I hope that I've gotten through to him. That I've driven my point across. I love him so much, and I'm tired of the distance between us. Chapter 329. I still don't like her, and I don't think I'll ever like her, but I understand Mom, he finally says after a while. I'll invite her then, but don't expect me to ever be her friend. I nod, my smile growing bigger. Thank you, my love. He hugs me, and my heart settles down. I haven't hugged my baby boy in more than a week and a half. It felt good to have him in my arms again. I love you, Mommy, he murmurs against my chest. My heart soars. There is just something about your baby calling you Mommy even though he's no longer a little baby. I can't describe it, but it's one of the best feelings. I love you too, my sweets, I whisper back, now hurry up or you'll be late for school. We pull away from each other. After kissing his forehead, I leave his room and head downstairs. I greet Teresa, who was busy making breakfast, before taking a glass of water, some painkillers, and heading up the stairs again. Entering the master bedroom, I was hoping Rowan was still asleep and I could just leave the water and pills, but unfortunately for me he's awake. To be honest, I don't think I'm ready to face or talk to him. Without saying a word, I walk across the room and place the items on the bedside table. I was about to leave, but just like yesterday night he stops me. Morning, Ava, he greets, his eyes shadowed. I know it's petulant, but I ignore his greetings. I try to pull away, but he holds firm, refusing to let go. "Let go of my hand," I demand in a crisp voice. "Not until you listen to me." I was starting to get angry. The day had started well with my reconciliation with Noah, and now he wanted to ruin it. Over my dead body. I wasn't going to let him. "Listen to what? To how you used my body as a substitute for Emma." I fume, trying to pull my hand away. He doesn't budge. Instead, he tugs, and I end up falling on his lap. Once there, he wraps both of his hands around me and cages me in. I try to free myself, but it's no use. He was stronger than me, and twice my size. I keep struggling, even after he kisses my exposed shoulders. "What I said in a fit of anger. You know me, Ava, and you know I say things without thinking when I'm angry. It's not an excuse, but I want you to understand me. Emma had said that you hurt her and that you'd told her some pretty hurtful things. I didn't know she'd lied, so I came to confront you. I wanted to hurt you just like you hurt her. I knew those words would kill you, that's why I said them in the first place." I stop struggling, but not by much. Hearing what he said for some reason just hurt even more. "I'm guessing this didn't happen long ago and goes to show your feelings for her if you were willing to hurt me that much, just so you could avenge her." I snarl at him, refusing to accept his damn explanation. I didn't even want to know what went down between me and Emma. If I'd hurt her, then F must have had a pretty good reason. I wouldn't have just attacked her for kicks and giggles. "I don't love her," he growls back. "Well, it looks like you did. Otherwise, explain what moved you to say those disgusting things to me," I ask. "I never held you back. I always knew our marriage was only because of Noah. I wouldn't have stopped you if you decided to have a mistress, as long as you kept it private and away from the media. But to use me like that? That is downright disgusting." This time, when I struggle, I jab my hand into his stomach, and he releases me with a groan. One stood up and was about to leave when he crossed the room faster than the flash and locked the door. Chapter 330. "I didn't use Ava, I wanted you," he says as he pockets the key. "I guess I wasn't leaving the room." "You wanted me? Then how come you took a shower the moment you pulled out of me? How come you never took me raw without wearing a condom first? How come you always held back? Hell, you rarely even kissed me on the mouth. And you say you wanted me? You could have fooled me. All the things I've tried burying came to the surface, and I hated how vulnerable they made me feel, so instead, I replaced them with anger. One of the memories I had after our date was sleeping with Ethan. It was everything sex should be. Passion and heat. With him, I felt wanted and desired, while with you, it felt like I was just an obligation. A chore. You say you wanted me, but that's a lie. Ethan showed me what it truly means to be desired by a man. The memory of having sex with Ethan had come unexpectedly, just like the others. It had also shown me what had been missing in my sexual life with Rowan. I didn't want to compare both experiences, but he had to see that I wasn't a fool to believe that he'd wanted me. I stare at him and see the pain that flashes in his eyes when I tell him about sex with Ethan. I didn't care, though, I was way past the point of caring. I didn't even feel anything when I remembered having sex with Ethan. There was just no feeling. Nothing close to what I felt for Rowan. 2. The only time you've ever taken me like you wanted was when we first slept together and we both know we were drunk and you thought I was Emma. He closes his eyes before opening them again. You know me, Ava, you know I never do anything unless I want to. Tell me, would I have slept with you if I didn't want to? If some part of me didn't want you. I go to argue with him, but I stop. He was right. Rowan never does anything he doesn't want to. He's not one to be swayed to do things he doesn't want to do. I believe the way things ended with Emma is what held me back. I never got closure, and neither did she. You're right, I could have gotten a mistress, but I preferred you even though I thought I hated you. I preferred sleeping with the woman I believed was my enemy instead of getting a mistress, even though I knew you wouldn't have a problem with it. I drop on the bed and just stare at him. If that's the case, why did you hold back then? Because in the back of my mind, I believed it's wrong to want you. You'd destroyed what I believed were my chances with the love of my life, how then could I want you? How could I what I said in a fit of anger. You know me, Ava, and you know I say things without thinking when I'm angry. It's not an excuse, but I want you to understand me. Emma had said that you hurt her and that you'd told her some pretty hurtful things. I didn't know she'd lied, so I came to confront you. I wanted to hurt you just like you hurt her. I knew those words would kill you, that's why I said them in the first place. I stopped struggling, but not by much. Hearing what he said for some reason just hurt even more. I'm guessing this didn't happen long ago and goes to show your feelings for her if you were willing to hurt me that much, just so you could avenge her. I snarl at him, refusing to accept his damn explanation. I didn't even want to know what went down between me and Emma. If I'd hurt her, then I must have had a pretty good reason. I wouldn't have just attacked her for kicks and giggles. I don't love her, he growls back. Well, it looks like you did, otherwise, explain what moved you to say those disgusting things to me. I ask. I never held you back. I always knew our marriage was only because of Noah. I wouldn't have stopped you if you decided to have a mistress, as long as you kept it private and away from the media, but to use me like that? That is downright disgusting. This time, when I struggle, I jab my hand into his stomach, and he releases me with a groan. I stood up and was about to leave when he crossed the room faster than the flash and locked the door.